And now to one of the rising stars of the freshman class of the 2012 Congress, the 112th Congress. Hopefully no fisticuffs will be thrown, but he's already shown a skill for throwing a verbal jab or two. He is a Republican, making history as one of two African-American Republicans elected in November. That's the first time that's happened since J.C. Watts left the Congress back in 2003. His name is Alan West, and he represents parts of Broward and Palm Beach counties, and he's with us now from Capitol Hill. Welcome to the program, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, thanks so much, Michelle. Happy New Year, and I don't know about this rising star stuff. We'll see what happens with that. I don't want to end up being a comet.
Well, you know, we mentioned that you've already made history and are getting some attention because of your background and profile. You're, of course, endorsed by former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin and the Tea Party. You are a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army and Iraq War veteran. And as we said, the first African-American Republican, one of two to be seated in a while. But presumably that is not why you ran.
Yes.
So for those who have not followed your campaign, can you tell us why you wanted to be in Congress and what you hope to accomplish while here?
Well, I think, you know, when I look at being in Congress, it was not something that I planned to do when I retired from the Army back in 2004. But when people came to me and convinced me of going back and serving my country just in a different uniform, in a suit and tie this time, and the absolute incredible thing, you know, this morning I got about 5 o'clock and did a, you know, 7-mile run around the National Mall. I thought about how the 22-year career that I had, that you fought to preserve and protect these institutions that make this republic so great. And now you get the opportunity to serve within these institutions and continue to make it great, you know, by being a citizen legislator. So I think that's one of the reasons why. It's just a continuation of the service to the country that started with my father, who served in World War II, an older brother who served in Vietnam, and my nephew who is here, who is the fourth generation of my family to serve, following my footsteps as an artillery officer and a captain. So it's about serving this great nation.
Your style has been described as gung-ho, brash, and hard-charging, and this isn't just felt by your political opponents, but also members of your own party. Mm. Last month, you wrote a letter to incoming House Majority Leader Eric Cantor asking why, given all that is on your plate, that the schedule seems to allow for so much time outside of Washington. I'd like to ask you how you will know whether your own party is keeping faith with the principles that you believe brought you here and brought many of the new members here.
Well, the thing is, as I sat down and looked at that congressional calendar back in December, 123 days of session, I had some questions about that. And I think that the constituents that sent me up here not to just be a bandwagon follower, but to be someone that will challenge assertions and do that wisely and respectfully, which is what I did. So, you know, the thing is, I think that the most important thing is to have that open communication with the leadership. And this is not about being gung-ho or brash or anything like that. It's about being the son that my mother and father raised to stand up for the convictions and the things that you believe in. And I think that one of the, I don't know, I think that a lot of people in the media here are very surprised at people that talk truth and don't talk spin. And I think that that has kind of, you know, propelled me into this light of scrutiny. And I'm just going to continue to say the things that I think the constituents and the American people want to have said.
Who or what is going to be keeping you accountable? We only have a minute here. We need to take a short break, but we'll be coming back for more conversation. But who or what is going to keep you accountable to the principles that you believe brought you here?
Well, I think the people keep me accountable. And I also think that my faith in God and my wife and my daughters will keep me accountable.
We need to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our special broadcast from the U.S. Capitol. It's the opening day of the 112th Congress. Our conversation is with incoming Congressman Alan West of Florida. We'll talk about his thoughts on leadership, President Obama, and joining the Congressional Black Caucus, among other things. Please stay with us. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're here at the U.S. Capitol. It's the opening day of the 112th Congress. In a few minutes, we'll be touching base with two veterans of Congress who are taking on new leadership roles. They are the new leaders of the Congressional Black and Hispanic caucuses, that is later. But first, we continue our conversation with Alan West, the Republican elected in the midterms to represent Florida's 22nd congressional district that includes Boca Raton, parts of Palm Beach and Broward counties. He's already made waves as one of two Black Republicans being seated. That's the first time there will be an African-American in the Congress, African-American Republican in the Congress since 2003. Before the break, we were talking about how your style has been described as both brash and gung-ho. And I wanted to talk to you about a new Gallup poll, which was taken in mid-December. Congress has its lowest approval rating in many, many years. There's not much difference between how Republicans, Democrats, and independents view the Congress. And some people attribute that to a sense that there's such profound polarization here that very little is getting done. First, I'd like to ask your interpretation of those numbers. And secondly, what are you personally planning to do to overcome this partisan divide?
Well, I think the most important thing is the American people, as you say, with a 13% approval rating, have lost trust and confidence in the people they have sent up here as elected leaders. And I think that it's so important that we reconnect to the people. And I think that what you saw in this last election, it was not so much that people went running back to the Republican Party. They did show that they weren't happy with the policies coming out of the Democrat Party. But they are trying to find individuals that will go up and be their voice, that will resemble them, that will take their cares and concerns to Washington, D.C. So I think that that is the way that we try to break down this partisanship, is talk about the American values, talk about the American fundamental principles that make us exceptional, make us who we are, that built this country in 235 years. And there are certain principles that work, and there are certain principles that have been proven not to work.
You know, to the question of civility, though, that you are quoted as having said that President Obama is one of the dumbest people, the dumbest person walking around right now. Did you really say that?
Well, I don't know at what time that I said it, but maybe there was some type of decision that he had made that I thought was a very dumb decision. I will tell you this. I think that when you go back and you look at the fact that we're involved in two combat operations and multiple other type of skirmishes, the fact that we almost have a third world war brewing south of the border, the most important issue was not don't ask, don't tell. I think that when you look at the rules of engagement, when you look at what type of strategic goals and objectives that we're going to have in Afghanistan to lead toward victory, those are the type of things that leaders, that principal leaders, vision leaders are focused on. So there have been some dumb decisions that have come out of this administration and as well out of this Congress.
But does that contribute to the atmosphere of civil discourse that many Americans are saying that they want to see right now?
Well, I tell you what, you know, when you sit around and think about some of the things that happened in my campaign, when my 17-year-old daughter picks up a mailing piece and it's got my Social Security number in it, when there are TV ads that are run about me saying that I'm a member of an all-white motorcycle gang and I run drugs and I hang out with prostitutes. Now, let's talk about civil discourse on both sides of the aisle.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
To that point. There are many people who feel that some of the criticism directed at the president is just totally out of bounds.
Yeah, but if I say something is dumb, it's based upon a policy decision. But I don't think I've been running drugs and hanging out with prostitutes my entire life.
To that point, this whole question of sort of reaching across the aisle, it's gotten some attention that you do plan to join the Congressional Black Caucus.
In fact, you were there at the
swearing-in. Now, what do you hope to add to this body? This body has been all Democratic for quite some time. In fact, J.C. Watts, who's the last African-American Republican to serve in the body, did not join.
And I think that was a mistake. I think it was a mistake. And, you know, one of the things that I really believe, my parents, who, you know, since passed, are looking down proud of the fact that I did join. And when you look at, we need to bring those varying perspectives and voices to that body politic. You know, no one is really talking about an amazing story of this congressional cycle that you have 42 African-Americans ran on a Republican ticket, 14 made into the general election, and two of us made it here to the United States House of Representatives. We have a black female Republican lieutenant governor down in Florida, Jennifer Carroll. So there is a different voice out there, and that voice needs to be heard. And this is about that bipartisanship that you just said. You know, as I listen to Chairman Cleaver of the CBC talk about how we need to rebuild the walls using the Jericho metaphor, you know, I stood on those walls for 22 years guarding this country. Now I want to make sure that we build these internal walls of our principles. And I think one of the critical things we can look at, you know, being on a small business committee, how do we reinvigorate, how do we resurrect that individual entrepreneurial spirit in our small business community, especially in the black community? So it's those type of things that I can bring to the table.
I did want to ask about that. I mean, the election is over, but we did report on this unprecedented number of African-Americans running on the Republican line. I wanted to ask why you think that is. Do you think it's demographics? Is it recruiting? Was it the fact that the chairman of the party Michael Steele was also an African-American? What do you think do you attribute that to?
I think that people are, heeding an internal message. They are looking and making their own evaluations. Let's never forget that, the last time there was a black Republican member of Congress from Florida was the Reconstruction. So the first members of this body up here were Republicans. So somehow we've got to understand that historical tie, that historical bond, resurrect those principles. And, everyone keeps beating up the Republican Party about not going to the black community. Well, that's why I'm there in the Congressional Black Caucus.
And a couple more questions before we have to let you go, and you've been very generous with your time on what is a very busy day. Republican congressional leaders have said that one of their first orders of business is to try to repeal health care reform. Mm-hmm. As a person yourself who's had health care, presumably because of your job, what do you say to all the millions of people who have not?
Well, the thing is, there are free market, free enterprise solutions that we can look to reform our healthcare system. But when I talk to the doctors, when I talk to the small business owners in Congressional District 22, especially small business owners that are dropping people off of healthcare because they cannot afford it or putting people on part-time, that's a jobs issue. It is also an economic issue. When I look at the fact that we're talking about $500 billion cuts in Medicare, 159 new government agencies, those are things that we can't focus on building the bureaucratic nanny state if we're going to pull out of this debt and deficit. And I think that's why we've got to look at this health care reform law. There are things that are very good in it as far as pre-existing conditions, as far as small businesses pooling together, as far as closing the donut hole. But I can tell you, with my limited education, I could probably package that in 5 to 10 pages. The other 2,490 pages, that's what we need to focus on.
In the time that we have left, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
My shoe size is 9.5.
Oh, that wasn't going to be my question.
Okay.
My question was going to be...
And I'm not
going to
color my gray hair.
You're not going to color your gray hair? Well, I was going to ask how you plan to continue to be you while you're here. Many people come here and find that there are all kinds of accommodations they have to make. What are you going to do to be you while you're changing the world?
It's very simple. You stay in touch with the friends that you've known throughout your years. As a matter of fact, one of the guys is here today, Colonel Theron Williams. He and I were... young captains back in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So those are the type of people that will keep you grounded.
And finally, I do have to ask about one of the hottest issues in Florida right now, not in your district, but the heat. The big three.
Absolutely.
LeBron, James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. Are they going to take it? Are they going to take it all the way?
Well, I don't know if you can say they're going to take it all the way because you can never know what will happen in the playoff season, but they have finally come together.
Alan West has been elected to represent Florida's 22nd district. That includes Boca Raton, parts of Broward and Palm Beach counties. He is, as we've said, one of two African-American Republicans being seated in this Congress, the 112th, and he joined us here on Capitol Hill for this special broadcast. Colonel West, Congressman West, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thanks.